Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Ayin. We are on Samach Tes Amud Beis. We are starting right by the words Zos Toras HaBehema. The Gemara is quoting from the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yudal Parsha Shmini. Okay, we are starting with the Gemara today, but well, start one line above it. Amar Rav Yosef Rabbi Avin, Rav Meir Kra Ashkach V'Kadarish. Rav Meir finds a pasuk, and he darshens a pasuk. Let's explain. Let me explain. The Mishnah taught us the following. Let's say I do Malika in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to be doing it. The Kohen's going to be doing it. But in any event, Kohen does Malika in the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to be doing it with a bird. And lo and behold, the bird turns out to be a treifa. So the bird now is a treifa. So let's make the following argument. Look, I know what the rules are by an animal. And again, let's just get all the basics down so that we understand. Animal that is shechted properly, now no longer talking about birds, talking about an animal. Animal shechted properly and received a good shechita, so two things happen. Number one, we're allowed to eat it, which is, you know, the part that interests us. The part that does not interest us, unfortunately, is that also it's not an avela anymore, which means that it doesn't give off tumah. Animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so the carcass of the animal is going to be giving off tumah. It's an avatumah, it's a source of tumah, and the way that transmits tumah is either mag or masa. You touch it or you carry it and it's going to give off tumah. So shechita really accomplishes two things by an animal. One, a heter achila. Two, it prevents it from becoming an avela. Good. That is true by an animal. And by an animal, we also know the cases as follows. Let's say I can't eat it after I shecht it. Give it a proper shechita, but I can't eat it. Why? Well, the animal's a treifa. Animal's a treifa. Something is happening with one of its internal organs where punctured, ruptured. We'll go through all the details in Gemara and Chulin. So now we can't eat it because the animal's a treifa, but you shechted it. So in terms of the heter achila, obviously the shechita didn't help you, but in terms of the nevela, the shechita helped you. The shechita was great, meaning it prevented the animal from becoming a nevela. So the animal's only a treifa, the animal's not a nevela, and therefore it doesn't give off tumah. Okay, good. That's all we everything I just said is what we know when it comes to an animal. And you asked me the question yesterday about non-kosher animals, meaning is there a nevela by non-kosher animals? So we'll see in today's daf, yes, there's nevela even by non-kosher animals as well. And by non-kosher animals, so it's an interesting phenomenon, because by non-kosher animals, the carcass of those animals give off tumah, and meanwhile, can I shecht it to prevent the tumah? No, there I can't shecht to prevent the tumah. Shechit is not going to accomplish anything over there.
Yeah, okay. Bird.
Hold on. Step by step. One step at a time. Okay? So when it comes to animals, so even non-kosher animals give off tumas nevela. Fine. When it comes to birds, let's make the same argument, right? In other words, so let's say, but really, the truth of the matter is that we're really going two steps over here. Meaning, we're talking now about the shechting of a bird, but we're not even talking about the shechting of a bird. We're talking about the malika of a bird. The malika of a bird, now again, malika is only done in the Beis HaMikdash with a bird that's dedicated as a karban. And the malika is being done by a kohen, but look, in other words, let the malika actually serve the purpose where I'm doing now the malika to the bird. As a result of that, it's like shechita, it's quasi shechita. It is shechita, really, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, this is the way the Torah instructs us to shecht the bird. And so, therefore, if lo and behold, the bird is turned into a treifa, not turned into. But if the bird was a treifa and we discovered it after the kohen did malika, but let's at least now say that the bird is not going to give off tumas nevela. Now again, when it comes to birds, tumas nevela is a little bit different than when it comes to animals. When it comes to animals, the tumah that's given off is either going to be mag or masa. With a bird, so how does one get tumah from the bird? Not through contact, not through carrying, but through eating of the bird. If you eat a kezais of the bird, so one is going to be subject to the tumah. Okay.
It didn't become a treifa after the shechita.
It didn't become a treifa, right.
Why is the malika considered good?
Malika will be good, not vis-a-vis our allowance to eat it, but at least so that it doesn't become a nevela. That's what is right now on the table for a proposal. So at least let malika be good enough so that it doesn't become a nevela. And so what do we have on this topic? A machlokas. Machlokas tanaim. Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir is of the opinion, eino mitame bebeis ablia. It does not give off tumah. Meaning it's not a nevela. I know you can't eat it. In other words, of course you can't eat it. It's a treifa. But in other words, but at least the malika was successful enough. It was effective enough so that there's no longer any tumas nevela on the bird. And Rav Yehuda disagrees. And Rav Yehuda says no. And in the Mishnah, what we learned together is that according to Rav Meir, so Rav Meir tried to construct a kal v'chomer, a logical argument that leads us to the conclusion that he's right, that, in other words, if you do malika to the bird in the base of Mikdash, so then the bird is not going to be nevela. What's his argument? So just, I'm going to go over this outside. We did this yesterday inside. So his argument is, look, if shechita of an animal, which has a more powerful, which could potentially become a much more powerful form of tumah, tumas maga, tumas masa. So if shechita of an animal is going to prevent the tumah from coming onto an animal, so the quote-unquote shechita of a bird, and I say quote-unquote because we really mean malika, but the quote-unquote shechita of a bird, it's going to be able to prevent a much milder form of tumah, right? So that's Rav Meir's argument, and Rav Yehuda says, malika, no. You're right. Right. So the Rabbi Yehuda says no, and Rabbi Yehuda dismisses it. Now the truth of the matter is that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't dismiss the Kal v'Chomer. If you look back in the Mishnah, was Rabbi Yossi who dismisses the Kal v'Chomer. So the and Rabbi Yossi says, look, in other words, I'll only say that the shechit of an animal will prevent tumah, but in other words, to extend that over to birds, in other words, dayo. In other words, no, we're not going to go that far.
Wait, where's the dayo point? What is it that
I, again, speak. Come to me after. We'll hash it out afterwards a little bit more. Okay, and the Gemara itself recognizes the fact that, of course, Rabbi Meir agrees to the principle of Dayo. It's a constant in the Torah, as we went over yesterday. So the Gemara now is going to go over other avenues. Meaning, so what we're going to do now for really almost the entirety of today's daf is we're going to basically go through Pesukim in the Torah and explore other means and avenues in which Rav Meir arrives at his conclusion, Rav Yehuda arrives at his conclusion, and so this is what we're going to be doing over the duration of today. In the Gemara today, we're going to be starting off the words Amar Rav Yosi Rabbi Avin. It's on Samech Tes Amud Beis, and it's after the Gemara. It's about five lines down from there. It's about a third of the way down in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosi Rabbi Avin, Rav Meir Kra Ashkech VeKadarish. So, as far as Rav Meir is concerned, so he finds the following pasuk. Now remember, okay, we're going to get a little bit lost today. I'm going to try not to, obviously. But we're going to get lost today in a lot of the drushas and a lot of the arguments of the Gemara. But just remember the basics. According to Rav Meir, malika of a bird in the Beis HaMikdash is tantamount to shechita, which means that even if the bird is a treifa, the bird is not going to be a nevela. Meaning the malika was effective enough that it prevented the bird from becoming a nevela. That's shechita's Rav Meir. And now the Gemara is going to explain a pasuk, or cite a pasuk that's going to support this position. The Torah goes on to say that this is the laws of animals and birds. So in other words, after the Torah gives us all the laws of kashrus, the Torah then gives a summary statement. This is the laws of animals and birds. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. In other words, they're put in the same pasuk as if the halachas between the two are the same. They're not the same. When it comes to an animal, so when does it give off tumah? Only with contact and with carrying. Of in matame be mago v'masa, a bird does not give off tumah with mago masa. Of matame be gadim abesa blia. When it comes to the bird, so if you were to ingest the kazayis of the meat of the carcass of a kosher bird, again that didn't receive a proper shechita, so you are matame be gadim abesa blia. In other words, you're not only going to be tame, but your clothing are going to be tame as well. But as it relates to an animal, so the tumah that's communicated from the animal is not going to be metame begadim, which means that you're going to be tame, but your clothing are not going to be tame as well. In other words, in terms of contracting tumah, sometimes the tumah affects just you, your physical body, but not the clothing you're wearing. Now, the clothing you're wearing is touching you, but remember, you're not an avatumah. In other words, you touched the carcass of an animal. The carcass of an animal is an avatumah. And you now are a rishon l'tumah. You are a derivative of tumah, right? The first derivative, but still, you are a derivative of tumah. You're a vlad tumah. Kalim do not become tumah through contact with a derivative, with a vlad. Kalim only come into only become tumah when touching an av. So sometimes, in other words, then you just have to know the rules in tumah. So sometimes the tumah is such where it not only is metame you, but the clothing you're wearing. And sometimes tumah is only metame you, but not the clothing you're wearing. So the Gemara says, so again, so in the laws of tumah tahara, so really birds and animals are just worlds apart from each other. Again, how you become tumah for an animal, maga masa, contact and carrying. For a bird, It's only bebeis ablia. It's only by ingesting it. And in terms of the depth of tuma, what becomes tame? So for a bird, you and your clothing. And for an animal, only you, not your clothing. So ella lama lacha ma behema davish machshir la'achila matar treifasim etumasa afov davish machshir ba'achila matar treifasim etumasa. So the Torah is making a hekesh. What's the hekesh there to teach us? So Rav Meir says, oh, I know what it's coming to teach us. It's teaching us the following. When it comes to an animal, so what is the means of allowing the consumption of an animal? Shechita. And we know that even if the animal is a treifa, shechita is mitaher midei, creates a tahara from tumah, meaning it prevents the animal from becoming an avela. Same thing is true regarding a bird. Meaning if I use a mechanism in which would allow the consumption of the bird, shechita, or in the base of Mikdash, malika, so then that means to say then that even if the bird is a treifa, still the shechita outside the base of Mikdash or the malika in the base of Mikdash would prevent the tumah from becoming. In other words, this is a good source for a mayor. Rev Yehuda, my taima, kra ashkach v'kadarash. So as far as Rev Yehuda is concerned, so Rev Yehuda says no. Now remember, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that when it comes to birds, Malika in the base of Mikdash is not going to be Matayer, and presumably, he's not limiting his position to just Malika in the base of Mikdash, but maybe Shechita birds altogether. Now, in order to understand this, let's take a look at a couple of psukim together. We're going to be quoting these psukim a lot, extensively over the course of today. And these are psukim in the Torah and Parshat Tzav as it relates to an animal. If you look... Perek Zion. Oh, not yet. I'm sorry. First Perek Yud Zion. Okay. Perek Yud Zion. Pasuk Tezvav. The end of Perek Yud Zion in Vayikra. Okay. V'chol nefesh asher tochal nevelo trefa. Anyone who eats nevelo trefa, ba ezrach uvager. Either a citizen or, convert. V'chibes begadav v'rachas b'maim. So what he's going to do is he's going to wash his clothing and tovel n'mikvah v'tamei ara ere v'tahir. And then, by evening, he'll be tahor. Now, the Torah over here is talking about anyone who is eating nevela utrefa. That's interesting. Eating nevela utrefa. Now, are we talking about the eating of nevela utrefa of an animal or that of a bird? So I'll give away the secret. It's a bird. How do I know it's a bird? So first of all, the Gemara is going to tell us. And that's number one. And number two, the best clue that we're talking about a bird over here is because the Torah over here is using the word, the description of achila. Meaning, if we're talking about the carcass of an animal, the means of becoming tameh is either through contact or through carrying. By virtue of the fact that the Torah over here uses the words tochal, it means that we're talking about a bird, achila, meaning beis ablia. Great. So when
you said...
Yeah, but we know the rules already. Meaning, there are certain givens in all this discussion. That's a given. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, my time of Karashkach v'Kadarish Nevela Trefa. I'm Rav Yehuda, Trefa Lama Nemra. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, what's the purpose of Trefa being written over there? Meaning, what is the function of the word Trefa doing over there? Now, in order to appreciate this next little bit of Gemara, so let me just give you a little background information. Okay. What is a trefa? So again, we know what a trefa is. If one of the internal organs of an animal has been compromised, punctured, severed, again, it's a lot of details. But so we know that the animal right now is in a terminal condition, and without getting too involved in the biology, the Torah says you can't eat it, meaning it's a trefa. And even if shechted properly, you still can't eat it. Okay, that's all given. The Gemara in Chulin has the following debate. Rashi over here cites the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Mem Beis, debates the following. Whether or not a trefa is going to survive 12 months or it's not going to survive 12 months. Okay. In other words, the way the Gemara describes it is trefa chaya, trefa ain't a chaya. Is a trefa going to live or is trefa not going to live? Now, let's remember, it's not going to make any difference in terms of the status of kashrus. Meaning, it's a trefa, and therefore we're not allowed to eat it. It's just what seems to be a question of reality, which again is usually not usually what is debated. In other words, they usually debate principles and concepts. They don't usually debate reality. But it's a debate as to whether or not a chaya is going to be is in a terminal state, or is not necessarily in a terminal state. Now, let's go back to the Gemara. Im treifa chaya. Now, if the treifa is gonna live, hare nevela amura. So that means to say is as follows, meaning so that while the animal is alive and well, so is it going to give off tumah? Of course, the answer is no. Meaning, because if you subscribe to the position that a treifa is going to live, so that means that basically we're talking about I'm using the term relatively speaking, but a healthy animal. And at what point is it going to give off tumah? Only, of course, when it dies. Now, when it dies, what is it at that point in time? It's a nevela. Now, im treifa eino chaya. Now, if a treifa is not going to live, if the condition of a treifa is terminal, so harehi bechlal nevela. So that means to say that even while the animal is still alive, now it's categorically a nevela. Now, you know what the Gemara sounds like it's saying. Now, I don't have to speculate because Rashi says this. And it's really radical what Rashi says, but it does really sound like what the Gemara is saying, is that when the animal is alive, but it's a treifa, and because the condition of the animal is terminal, so therefore it's considered a nevela, the moment it's discovered to be a treifa. Now again, usually we don't know about about it being a treifa until after it died, until after we look at the organs, you know, after shechita. But if we discover that it was a treifa while it was alive, and you subscribe to the position that a treifa in a chaya, so that means to say that now the animal is a nevela, even while the animal is alive. Now Rashi says it, and quite frankly, it's such a novel idea. This idea that you can have an animal walking around. Oh, you see that animal over there walking around? Well, we know it's a treifa, and therefore it's a nevela. And it's going to give off tumah even while the animal is walking around? That's really unusual. And I say it's unusual, by the way. I don't say it's unusual. Tosos says it's unusual. Tosos over here, the Baam Tosos over here, discusses this, the statement by Rashi. He cites it. Can't believe it. Can't believe Rashi said it. Offers another pshat in the Gemara. I'll tell you what. For our purposes right now, let's just leave it as it is. In that, basically, what the point of the Gemara is making is that the word treifa is superfluous, because if a treifa does live, it's only going to be a nevela once it dies, and if a treifa is terminal, so then it's going to be a nevela right here and right now. So the point is that the word treifa is really superfluous. Ella lavi treifa sheshachta shematama. So the Gemara says so. It's therefore coming to teach us that if I have a treifa that I shecht, that it's going to give off tuma. Now we're not talking about an animal over here. In other words, we'll take the position that a treifa really does live, and the point of the pasuk being that even though I give it its proper shechita, but it's still going to give off tumah. So this is now going to be a source for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that if I were to shecht a bird, and the bird turns out to be a treifa, so the shechita is not going to help. So Amalei Rav Shizbi Elamiata Dichsiv. So the Gemara says, now if that's true, so let's go to another pasuk in the Torah. Meaning, so you're telling me that when the Torah introduces us to treifa nevela, so the word treifa is superfluous, and because it's superfluous, it allows for a drasha. Really. So the Gemara says, now let's go back in the Torah, now let's go back to Parshat Tzav, and Torah says like this. In the seventh parak of Parshat Tzav, Vaydaber Hashem HaMoshe Lemor, Dabel B'nei Yisrael Lemor, Kol Chelev Shor V'Chesev V'Eiz Losav Chelo. So the Torah over here introduces us to the prohibition of chelev. Chelev are the fats in an animal, in a domesticated animal, that you and I are not allowed to eat. Torah prohibits it. So that means to say that we're not so familiar with these fats, meaning they don't make it to the kosher stores, the kosher markets, for a good reason, because it's not kosher. So thank you. And they are the hard fats that surround the various organs of the animal. In other words, in my one experience of being involved in a shechita, and it was a great experience, and dissecting it, it was a sheep, and dissecting it. So what you see is you take out, let's say, for the kidney, and then what you have is like a hard layer of fat that surrounds the kidney. It encases the kidney, it protects the kidney, and you could just peel it off, and we did. You just peel it right off. And so that is the chelev which the Torah prohibits. And so, by the way, you're allowed to eat the kidneys. I don't know how exciting that is. But in other words, but the fats, it's very good, right? Delicious, delicious. But the fats that surround it have to be removed and taken off, and those fats are prohibited. Mind you, by the way, those fats are actually more prohibited than a non-kosher animal. Non-kosher animals prohibited by a lav, by a negative prohibition. The fats of an animal, of a kosher animal, are prohibited through kares. So anyway, so the fats are prohibited. Good. That's pasuk chav gimel. Next pasuk in Perek Zayin. V'chelav nevela v'chelav trefa. Now, if it's the chelav of nevela or the chelav of trefa, so the Torah says, yaseh l'chol malacha. See, in other words, in terms of working with it, it's fine. It's only asar be'achila. It's not asar be'hana. So if we want to, let's say, use it for fuel, great. It's right. It burns beautifully. So you want to use it for whatever malacha you want, you're allowed to. V'achol lo sochlu. But what you can't do is you can't eat it. So in other words, the Torah very clearly states over here that the prohibition is only on eating, but not on benefit. You're allowed to benefit from it. Good. The Torah says in the pasuk that I just read, chelav nevela chelav trefa. Trefa now is superfluous, right? Because again, the Gemara is going to go over this inside. I'll just say it outside first, and we'll see it inside. If a trefa is going to live, so that means to say that it only now is going to have it's only going to be problematic once it's dead. Meaning, but then it's a nevela. And if a trefa is not going to live, if it's terminal, so then you can call it a nevela right here and right now, even as it's alive. And again, I'll go back to that Rashi that I cited just a couple of moments earlier. But again, the point is that the word trefa is superfluous. So now, the Gemara says, so, let's see this inside. The Torah says, chelav nevela, chelav trefa, hasam nami, neimim trefa chaya, hare nevela amur, im trefa, ino chaya, hare bechal nevela. So the word trefa is superfluous, like we just got done saying, ela lahavi, trefa sheshachta. So it must be that, you know what the Torah is coming to teach us over there? Meaning what the Gemara is just simply pointing out over here is the absurdity of Rabbi Yehuda's point. Is that when you see the words nevela and trefa in the same pasuk, oh, trefa is superfluous, and therefore we get to darshan it. So over here, what do you want to tell me? Trefa is superfluous, therefore we get to darshan it. And how are we going to darshan it over here? El alahavi, trefa sheshachta, that if I have a trefa that I shech, shechelba tahor. So that means to say that the chelav is going to be tahor. So, mechlal dihi tameyam. I'm sorry, mechlal dihi metame. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what it sounds like you're saying? It sounds like you're saying that if I were to not shecht an animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so you're telling me that the chelav gives off tumah. Like the animal gives off tumah. And by the way, every time we say that the animal gives off tumah, we don't mean the bones of the animal and we mean simply the meat of the animal, the buster of the animal. That is the source of tumah. So chelav is not meat. It's not buster. So now, in other areas of halacha, by the way, this part's a little bit confusing, but I'll spell it out. I'll try to spell it out. In other areas of halacha, chelav is considered basar. So like, let's say, for example, basar b'chalav, right? You're not allowed to cook meat and milk together. So included in basar b'chalav is chelav as well.
Doraita?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Okay, but yeah. So in other areas of halacha, chelav is considered meat. But in terms of tumah, what the Gemara is about to teach us is the following. Chelav is not subject to being a source of tumah in that it's not the basar of an animal. So the Gemara says, V'amr Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, V'amr Rav B'masisa Tana. The Gemara now is going to quote a brisa. V'chiya musmena behema. Mixes behema metama, mixes behema metama. So the some animals give off tumah, some animals do not give off tumah. V'ezezuzu trefa sheshachta. So a trefa that was shechted. So the a trefa that shechted. So, ella trefa mi baile limu'ute temeya. So the Gemara says, as far as trefa is concerned, so what is it coming to exclude? Meaning that there is a superfluous language of trefa used in the Torah. It must be coming to exclude something. And again, I know that because when Rav Yehuda experiences the pasuk in Perek Yud Zayin, so there he says it's coming to exclude. So here, back in Perek Zayin, it also is coming to exclude. What is it coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, "Ela trefa mi bai lamute tameya, mishi yesh b'mina trefa." So it's coming to exclude non-kosher animals, meaning that only something that could at least potentially be a trefa. You see, by a non-kosher animal, there's no concept of trefa. Meaning, physiologically, anatomically, can it become a trefa? Sure. Halachically, what difference does it make? It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. Meaning, trefa just for you and I simply means we're not allowed to eat it. By a non-kosher animal, of course, we're not allowed to eat it. So the principles of trefa don't apply to a non-kosher animal simply because it's already not kosher to us. Yatzazusha, imbamina trefa. So, hachaname, limu'ute of tame, she'ein b'mino treifa. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, by birds as well. So why don't we say the same thing? That the superfluous language of treifa used in reference to birds in Perek Yud Zion is there to make the same point, meaning kosher versus non-kosher animals. So the Gemara says, of tamal Rav Yehuda min nevela nafkale. So the Gemara says, no, as far as a non-kosher bird is concerned, so as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, he learns it from a different pasuk. He learns it from nevela. Detanya, Rav Yehuda omer yachot hei nevelas of tamay metamay begadam beis abliya. Rav Yehuda says, look, I might have thought that non-kosher birds are going to give off tuma. Sorry, the nevela of non-kosher birds are going to give off tuma. As a havamina, the Gemara says. So metamay begadam beis abliya. So tamalamer nevela utrefa lo yochal mish yisur mishum bal tochal nevela yatzazeshein yisur mishum bal tochal nevela mishum bal tochal tamei. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah uses the word nevela, nevela means that I can't eat it when it's a nevela. When it comes to non kosher, I can't eat it because it has nothing to do with it being a nevela. I can't eat it because it's simply not kosher. So in other words, so there I know that birds, non kosher birds, are excluded from tuma. Hai nami tepuk lei. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so why don't we say the same thing regarding chelav as well? So, mish yisur mishum bal tochel chelav nevela yatzazu shein yisur mishum bal tochel chelav nevela le mishum tamei. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say the same thing regarding nevela as well? Ela hai trefa mi ba'ele. So the Gemara says, okay, so that can't be it. So once again, here's what we're trying to do is uncover, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the extra treifa coming to teach us? So mibayla asuye chaya. So the Gemara says what it's coming to do is it's coming to include a wild animal. Okay, a little bit of an intro before we get to the next before we get to this next part of the Gemara. When we have animals, so basically the organization of animals comes basically in one of two ways. Categorically, animals can be split up into two categories: behema and chaya. Behema are what you and I would describe as domesticated animals, right? Docile animals, don't do a whole lot, just kind of stand around, graze. As opposed to wild animals, chaya, where they're out in the forest, they're in the wild, and they're not docile and they're not so much domesticated. Okay, for you and I, the easiest way to think about the differences between chaya and behema is that behemas basically are your karbanos, right? All your karbanos are behema. Domesticated, docile animals. As far as chayas are concerned, they're not going to be offered as karbanos. Now, in both domesticated and non-domesticated animals, so there are kosher and non-kosher in both. Meaning by domesticated animals, so the kosher domesticated animals, so the Torah gives us very clear that it has to have split hooves, it chews its cud. In other words, those are the kosher domesticated animals. There obviously are a host of domesticated animals that are not kosher. Same thing is true with chaya, with wild animals as well. So there are wild animals that are kosher, wild animals that are not kosher. So the wild animals that have split hooves and chew its cud, so they are the kosher wild animals. Those that obviously do not are not kosher. So examples of wild animals are deer, gazelle. If you have ever eaten venison, so that's a chaya, that's a wild animal. Now, there are two major differences halachically between a chay and a behema of the kosher species. Obviously, if shechted properly, we're allowed to eat the meat. But they diverge halachically in one of two ways. One is that the fats, the chaylev of a domesticated animal is asr, while the chaylev of a chaya are mutter. That's one difference. A second difference is the mitzvah of kisu ehadam. When you shecht a domesticated animal, so there is no requirement to cover the blood. Meaning the blood is obviously going to go onto the floor, and there's no mitzvah to cover it. Right? When my one experience when we shechted the sheep, the blood went on the floor. It's actually out in the field. So the blood went out in the field. Okay, that's great. But meanwhile, when it comes to birds and when it comes to wild animals that you're shechting, obviously of the kosher type, so there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Kisui Adam, you cover the blood. So the if anyone's gone to Kaparos, so you'll know that that's part of the process of going to Kaparos. Okay, I was involved in the Shechita. I've never been involved in Kaparos. It's not my minhag. So anyway, so those are the two differences. So now what the Gemara is entertaining as follows. So now let's go back to the Gemara suggestion. So Ella So Maishan Tameh, I'm sorry. Asar Vasar Yatza Zushechava. I'm sorry. Hi Trefa Mi Baile. Four lines down now on Ayin Amud Aleph. So what are we going to now do with the word Trefa? Meaning the Trefa that's mentioned back in Perek Zayin. Lasuye Chaya. So it's coming to include that of a Chaya. Salka Dat Chamina. Meaning Mishechava Asar. I might have thought that we're only talking about an animal whose chalav is asr and the meat is going to be mutter. Yatzazu shechalba b'sar mutter. So achaya, the meat and the chalav are both mutter. So I might have thought that this pasuk over here is only referring to behemoth, to domesticated animals, but not to chaya, based on the halachic difference that exists between the two. So kamash malan. So therefore, the Torah is coming to teach us that no, that even when I have a chaya, a wild animal, and it died without the benefit of a shechita, so its meat is going to be tameh, but not the chelav. The chelav is not going to be tameh. Armer le maishna tameh de incha b'chaluk mi besara chayinami incha b'chaluk mi besara. So, excuse me. So in response to that, so he says, I don't understand. By non-kosher animal, meat and chalav are the same, meaning they're both prohibited. So chayinami ain't chaba chalak mi besara. So when it comes to a chaya, the meat and the chalav are the same. Now what happens to be same is that they're both permitted, but at least they're the same. So in other words, by a non-kosher animal, so you were making the argument that when a non-kosher animal dies without the benefit of a shechita, so now its meat and its chalav are going to be a source of tumma. So why don't we say the same thing by a chaya? That when it dies without a shechita, its meat and its chalav are going to be both a source of tuma. What about the pasuk over here? The pasuk is only limited to behema. And why is behema different? Behema is different simply because the meat is mutter, but the chalav is going to be aser. So in other words, they are different than one another. So ve'od, and on top of that, dechziv acholos ochluhu, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. Ve'acholos ochluhu, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. Meaning the idea that it is not tameh is a function of the fact that you're not allowed to eat it. And meanwhile, the chilav of a chaya, you are allowed to eat. Ella amar abaye. So here comes now another attempt. Again, what is the purpose of the Torah using the word trefa as it relates to the chilav? So ella amar abaye trefa leguvei yitzarech shelo tamar hol v'tam utameh asura mechayim utrefa asura mechayim. So look, a non-kosher animal is already usher while it's alive. And a trefa is usher already while it's alive. Ma tamea chel batameh. So, af trefa chel batameh. So I might have thought that if a non-kosher animal, its chelav is going to be tameh, so by a trefa as well, its chelav is going to be tameh. So the Gemara says, Ihachi hai nami mi bai shalot tomar, hov of tameh usher ba'achila, utrefa asura ba'achila. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we make the same argument regarding birds? A non-kosher bird, which you're not allowed to eat, a trefa, which you're not allowed to eat, my of tame ain't a matame, so av trefa ain't a matame. So just like a non-kosher bird does not give off tama, so to a trefa that received the proper shechita is not going to give off tama as well. V'od, and furthermore, mi ika la mail of trefa mi tamea. And on top of that, what are you doing? You're learning out a trefa from a non-kosher species, tamea lo haisa la shasa kosher. Look, when it comes to non-kosher species, it never is edible. Its condition of we are not allowed to eat it exists and always existed. And meanwhile, trefa haisa la shasa kosher. And when it comes to a trefa, at one point it was permitted, and if and when it becomes a trefa, then and only then it comes prohibited. I can't make any comparison between non-kosher species and trefa. V'chitem a trefa mi beta ma'ikala me'emar. Now, what about a congenital trefa? It was born a trefa. The Gemara says, that's wonderful, but b'mina mi'a ika. In other words, but we're talking about category. Categorically, non-kosher is always prohibited. Categorically, a trefa, usually is one time permitted, and therefore becomes prohibited. So, elam arava. So, here we go now, round four. So, now, what is the purpose of the Torah using the word trefa as it relates to chalav? So the Gemara now quotes in the name of Rava, HaTorah Amra, Yavo Isser Nevela V'yachol Al Isser Chalav. Yavo Isser Trefa V'yachol Al Isser Chalav. So Rava says, I'll tell you what the Torah is coming to teach me over here. Torah is coming to teach me is as follows. Let's say, now we already know, the chalav of domesticated animals are prohibited. as the Torah clearly states. Let's say on top of that, the animal dies without the benefit of a shechita. Now the meat of the animal is nevela. How about the chelev? Is the chelev nevela as well? Now you'll say to me, what difference does it make? Meaning we're not allowed to eat it already. So in other words, basically what we're talking about over here is superimposing one iser on top of another iser. Now, it's true. It's true. We're superimposing one iser on top of another iser. Now, generally, we have said throughout the Gemara, throughout Shas, ain iser chalal iser, that you, if something is already prohibited, so there's no room for another iser to superimpose on top of that. That's the general principle. Rava says, I know that's the general principle, and that's what the Torah is teaching me over here. That even by the chalav of a kosher animal, where we're not allowed to eat it already, but if the animal died without the benefit of a shechita, which means it's a nevela, not only is the iser nevela going to be on the meat of the animal, but the iser nevela is also going to be on the chalav of the animal as well. Our chalav is already aser?
Right.
You're right. In other words, and the Torah is telling us, superimposing another iser on top of it. Same thing. Correct. Excellent question. Same thing is true regarding a trefa. Meaning if the animal turns into a trefa, which of course means that we're not allowed to eat the meat, that means that the iser trefa is also going to apply on the chalav as well, superimposing another iser on top of it. Now, Ben's question. So, okay, but in other words, I can't eat it. In other words, the iser chalav is a stronger iser. Nevela is only a lav. Trefa is only a lav. Chalav is a stronger iser. So what do we gain from having a second iser? So, in other words, I can only give you the technical answers of if the person gets warned for with two hasras, with two separate warnings, the person could be eligible for two sets of malchus. Okay, right. Which is what I'm saying is correct, but that's, you know. Okay. In other words, but that's the, that would be the, that's Rava's understanding of the pasuk. And oh, by the way, Rashi and Chumash, Rashi and Chumash writes exactly this. Meaning, this is, you ask me what's the accepted opinion. I'm not sure of the entire exercise this morning of what the extra trefa coming to teach me. So we had a whole bunch of suggestions of the Gemara. Rashi and Chumash brings down exactly what we just learned in the Gemara. Va'acholo sochlu, you're not allowed to eat it. Amra Torah Yavo Isser Nevela. I'm reading Rashi and Chumash. Yavo Isser Nevela V'Treifa V'Yachol Al Isser Chelev Shim Achlo Yischayev Af Alav Shal Nevela. Like exactly what I just told you. In other words, that if you eat it, so in addition to violating the Isser in the Torah of eating Chelev, you're also going to violate the Isser Torah of eating Nevela or Treifa, whichever one it is. V'Lo Tomar Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. And Rashi and Chumash says, and don't say Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. No, that's different. Ask me that after. It's totally different. Okay, so the v'yachol iser chelav, v'yavo iser trefa, v'yachol iser chelav. Utsricha, and the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, they're both necessary. The iash mina nevela mishum demetamya. Look, when it comes to nevela, meaning, and why couldn't the Torah? Sorry, let me just be clearer about this next point of the Gemara. If the whole purpose of the Torah over here is just to tell me superimposing, that we're taking one iser and we're imposing it on top of another iser, so write either nevela or trefa. The Torah has to say state both, and now that's the Gemara's point over here. Yes, the Torah has to say both. Because by nevela, mishum demetamya, because you see, at least with nevela, there's another dimension to nevela, in that it gives off tumma. Aval trefa, imala, but trefa, there's no tumma by trefa. V'yashmin and trefa mishum de iser mechayim. Trefa, on the other hand, is an iser that existed already while the animal was alive. Meaning, still while the animal is living out its last months. But if it's a trefa, already the prohibition is kicked in. Aval nevela, emalo. But the nevela, of course, does not kick in until the animal is actually dead. So tricha, so the Gemara says, so therefore they're both necessary. And so finally, for Rebbe Yehuda. Now, again, remember, this was all one tangential point that we just made in the Gemara. In the end of Perek Yud Zayin, where the Torah is talking about birds, the Torah has the words nevela and the Torah has the word trefa over there. In describing a bird, why is the Torah telling us trefa? So it's superfluous, and Rebbe Yehuda says, I'll tell you what it's coming to teach me. It's coming to teach me that even if I were to shecht a bird, do malika to a bird, it's still going to be nevela. Aye, then the Gemara says, if that's true, what about over here when the Torah is describing chalev? It says chalev of nevela, chalev of treifa, according to Rabbi Yehuda. What's the purpose of it doing over there? So the Gemara just rolled out one suggestion after another in terms of how is Rabbi Yehuda understanding the psukim over here, finally ending with Rava's suggestion of the idea of superimposing. That the Torah is telling us that we're going to superimpose the Isser of Nevela on top of the Isser of Chalev, the Isser of Trefa on top of the Isser of Chalev. Gemara says, of a Nevela, Emelot, Tzricha. V'ra Meir, Hai Trefa, my Avile. Now, according to Rav Meir, what is he going to do with that extra Trefa? Meaning, Rav Meir obviously categorically disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir is of the opinion that if I were to shecht a bird or do Malika to a bird, so, according to Rav Meir, there is no tumah. So, what does he do with the extra word trefa? Mibaylei lemeute shchita shihi lifnim. So, it's coming to exclude shchita that was done inside. Meaning, instead of doing malika, you did shchita to the bird inside. Rav Yehuda trefa achrina ksiva. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, that's learned from a different sighting, a different pasuk of trefa. So, and according to Rav Meir, one is coming to exclude shechita that's done inside, and the other one is to exclude non-kosher birds. Meaning, non-kosher birds are not going to be subject to tuma. Rav Yehuda min nevela nafkalei. Rav Yehuda learns it out from the pasuk nevela. Rav Meir hai nevela mayavilei. Now, according to Rav Meir, what do we learn out from the pasuk nevela? L'shir achila b'chazayis. How much bread you have to eat in order to contract tuma? You have to eat a chazayis. V'tepek le'mikra kama. Medafka rachmana b'lashon achila. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by virtue of the fact that the Torah uses the word achila, by definition, every time the Torah uses the word achila, it means a chazayis. Chal l'shir achila b'chazayis v'chal l'shir achila b'chtei achilas pras. So the Gemara says it's talking about amount in time. How much bird do you have to eat in order to contract the tuma? A kesayis. Within how much time do you have to eat it? Bechtei achilas pras. Salka dat chamina hol vechidushu yosem mechtei achilas. Ah, so salka dat chamina, perfect. Ben perfect. Salka dat chamina hol vechidushu yosem mechtei achilas pras namili tamei. And the Gemara says, now why would I have thought differently? Because this idea that you're eating the carcass of a bird that was not shechted, and you're going to become tame, it's such a novel idea. We don't have this in any other realm of tuma. This only exists by a bird. So therefore, since it's such a novel idea, one would have entertained the at least a havamina that, okay, you eat a kezias of it, but you don't have to eat it within the time frame of kedei achilas pras. So therefore, the second time that the Torah introduces the words nevela, it's basically saying that this is achila in every respect, meaning that you have to eat the amount of a kezayis within the time frame of kedei achilas pras. Kamash malan. Okay, adkan. All right, that takes us to the end of the sugya, and honestly, a complicated sugya, but basically what comes out is as follows, that according to Rav Meir, malika of a bird, that's a trefa, at least a malika is going to prevent it from becoming a nevela. Rav Yehuda disagrees, and what we have been doing for the last amud and a half of Gemara, almost a full blot of Gemara, most of Samach Tes Amud Beis, all of Ayin Amud Aleph, is the Gemara just simply cited the sources that describe the position of Rabbi Meir and the source of Rabbi Meir and the source of Rabbi Yehuda. Even though the Mishnah expresses it as a Kal V'chomer, but the Gemara says, but truth be told, is that it's not really a Kal V'chomer. And again, by the way, just recently we had this as well, where the Mishnah explains the reason based on one argument. But the truth of the matter is that the Gemara says, but that's not the real argument. It's almost like a good memory aid. But it's not the real basis of this position. The real basis of the position is based on drashas. Tana Rabbanan, we are on Ayin Amud Aleph, we're on the bottom of the Amud, towards the bottom of the Amud. And let's just do one more sugya for today. Chelev nevela v'chelev trefa. Okay, we quoted this pasuk a bunch of times already this morning. Torah describing the chelev of nevela and trefa. Bechelev behema Torah akas medaber. So it's talking about the chelev of a kosher animal. Ata omer bechelev behema Torah akas medaber. I know ala bechelev behema tamea. All right, what about a non-kosher animal? Now, again, let's go over the basic rules like we did earlier, just to be clear. An animal dies, not a bird. An animal dies, so regardless of whether it's of a kosher type or a non-kosher type, its carcass is going to give off tuma. Now, its carcass is going to give off tuma. By carcass, I really mean the meat. What about the chalev? Chalev is excluded. Chalev does not give off tuma, as we're learning right here in this pasuk. What the Bryce is teaching us is that that's only true regarding kosher animals. It's not true regarding non-kosher animals, meaning by non-kosher animals, the carcass gives off tuma, included the chelav as well. That's what we're learning right now. The Gemara says, oh, ain't all the chelav behema tumea. So the Gemara says, or maybe no, maybe it's talking about, maybe it's even talking about the chelav of behema tumea. Amar tia mechlal shchuta, v'tira mechlal chelav. So the Gemara says, no, tahara is removed from the shchuta category and removed from the chelav category. Amar ke shetir mechlal shchuta b'tahara. In other words, when we're talking about shchuta, we're talking about a kosher animal, obviously, meaning because what does shchita accomplish with a non-kosher animal? Nothing. So in other words, so we're talking about kosher animals. So shchuta b'tahara v'lo b'tmeya, af k'shetir mechlal chelev b'tahara v'lo b'tmeya. So over here, when the Torah gives an exclusion for chelev, it's talking about kosher animal, not non-kosher animal. O klach l'derech zu. So the Gemara says, or maybe not. Maybe tir mechlal nevela v'tir mechlal chelev. Ma'akishetir mechlal nevela b'tmeya v'lo b'tahara. So af k'shetir mechlal chelev b'tmeya v'lo b'tahara. Or the Gemara says, no, or maybe the idea is that it's excluding from nevela. What animal subject to nevela? All animals are subject to nevela, kosher and non-kosher. So maybe over here, when the Torah is excluding the chelev, maybe the Torah is excluding the chelev of non-kosher animal as well. Amar, the Gemara says, no. Kishaba b'derech zu, hi b'tahara. Kishaba b'derech zu, hi b'tameya. So if I go one way, so it's talking about kosher animals. When I go another way, it's talking about non-kosher animals. Tamalamar, trefa. Mishi yesh b'mina trefa. Otzi yesa tameya she'en b'mina trefa. So the Gemara says, so by virtue of the fact that the Torah uses the word trefa over here, we know that's talking about kosher animals, not non-kosher animals. It has to be. Because trefa is only relevant to kosher animals. Again, physiologically, anatomically, a non-kosher animal could be a trefa biologically, but halachically, of course, it's not going to make any difference. It's not kosher already. The animal's not kosher. So by virtue of the fact that it's a trefa, therefore what? It doesn't mean anything. So trefa, excuse me, only is relevant to a kosher animal. By virtue of the fact that the Torah uses the word trefa over here, we know that the Torah over here is describing kosher animals. Tamalomer trefa, mishesh b'mina trefa. Otzi esa tamea she'ein b'mina trefa, v'la otzi esa chai she'esh b'mina trefa. So the Gemara says, what about wild animals? So tamalomer v'achol lo sochlu, mishechalbo asar u'besara mutar. So we're only talking about animals where the meat is permitted and the chelev is prohibited. Yatzachai shechalbo besara mutar. And we're coming to exclude a wild animal whose both chelev and basar are both going to be mutar. Okay. Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava elamiata nevels behema tahora hu de tamea. The Tamea, Nevelas Behema Tamea, Lo Metame. So the Gemara says, well, Nevela of a kosher animal should give off Tumah, Nevela of a non kosher animal should not give off Tumah. Amarle, Kamasabe Shibshu, Shibishtu Ba. So the Gemara says, it's so funny. So many other people made the mistake as well. Seifa Asan Lenivas of Tame. Now, in other words, the end of the Brisa was talking about birds, meaning that only when we're talking about animals are we not going to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher. Meaning that when a animal dies without the benefit of a shchita, both kosher and non-kosher, its carcass gives off tumah. Masha Enkin, when it comes to birds, only the bird of a kosher species, when it dies without a proper shchita, it's going to give off tumah. Non-kosher birds that die do not give off tumah. Okay. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Machlokis in terms of the shita of Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that when you do malik on a bird in the base of Mikdash, so and it turns out to be a trefa, so at least it rescues it from being a nevela. Is that only talking about birds which are eligible to be brought as a karban, or could it be talking about any types of birds whatsoever? Okay, we'll save that for tomorrow.